Welcome back to Inside Personal Growth. This is Greg Voisin, the host of Inside Personal Growth. And I want to thank all my listeners who come back again and again and again to listen to the words of wisdom from our authors. And I have with me today, joining me from the Bay Area, Scott Dunsmore. And I actually received an email from Scott. Most of the time, publicists contact me, Scott, and send me books. I have them all over my office. But in your case, it was an email. And I haven't met Scott, but I was so impressed with his website and his work that I decided to actually set up this interview with him today. And I think as listeners out there, you're truly going to be impressed with Scott, his work, and what he's doing. We're going to be speaking about Live Off Your Passion, an unconventional guide to finding passion and getting paid to do the work you love. Scott, it's good having you on Inside Personal Growth. Thanks for joining us. And I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, great. Well, it's a pleasure. I'll do my best to try and fill those shoes you just laid out. thank you.
I think you'll do a great job. And I want to tell our listeners just a little bit about Scott before we get going. Scott is the founder and chief experimenter at Live Your Legend. He's a writer, an entrepreneur, a passion coach, and value investor obsessed with adventure, life experiments, and learning. His work has been featured in prominent sites and publications such as the Washington Post, Elance, and Zen Habits, among hundreds of others. His blog and website are ranked among the top half a percent in the world. He's also has a small problem listening to authority. Over the last 8 years, Scott has run experiments on himself and others to better understand what lights the fire under each of us. And Scott, again, it's a pleasure having you off. Now, you start this EPUB off. This is kind of it's really truly a guidebook more than anything for people who want to explore finding their passion. And you start telling the people that this is hard work. You know, change is hard work. And you advise them. Right. You said you're not going to get off easy. What is it that you found over and over and over again as a passion coach that really is the biggest obstacle for people that start down this path and they actually quit?
Yeah, it's not even necessarily quitting. It's never starting. And that's the tough thing, is that people will talk to me all the time. You know, I'll sit down at dinner with friends or family or people I meet on the street, and I'll say, oh, what do you do? And I tell them, I say, oh my God, I need your help. Like I hate my job. I don't know what to do. And I say, well, have you read any of the couple hundred books that are on the topic on passion and purpose? Look at me just with a blank stare, like, no, I haven't done that. And it's like, well, what are you doing waiting around complaining? I mean, I've, of course, read them all, or you have too, and what it comes down to is that you have to be obsessed with learning both about yourself and about the things that fire you up. And that's why I talk about experiments a lot, and I think the way to look at life in general is as just one big experiment or a series of very little experiments. Either way, you're always testing things out to see what you like, what you don't like, and the more you learn, the more likely you are to be pointed in the right direction with what you do. So I think the key is taking the first step, which is always the most daunting for people, but usually it's the easiest in terms of, like, physical challenge. You know, it might be reading that first chapter in a book, talking to that person, whatever it is, but you have to start.
Now, let me ask you this. You've been in this laboratory experimenting with yourself for the last 8 years, and you're not that old. You're in your late 20s, right?
We're 29, yeah.
Okay, so that means since 21, 22, you've been in this lab. You know, you've been like the lab rat. Tell us what you've, right. Tell us what you've found out. I know it's obviously in this Live Off Your Passion guidebook and guidebook for people, but what personally would you give our listeners as advice that you found being the lab rat?
Yeah, I think the advice is to not take anything as gospel or anything for granted. You can't just listen to what people tell you you're supposed to do, because unfortunately, what the last stat I saw was 80% of people aren't happy with the work that they do. Well, if that's the case, those are the people that are teaching the younger folks, you know, about what to expect, how to set their expectations, what to do. So if you believe that from the beginning, then you're always going to believe it, and you're going to think that that's just part of life. Work is something you don't enjoy, you do so that you can make money, put food on the table, and then save up your time to spend it doing something you enjoy, you know, 1/20th of your year or something like that. And so the key that I've learned is just realizing that things are possible. Just about anything is possible. And the people who don't believe things are possible, you know, whether it's, I don't know, running an ultra marathon or starting a web business, you know, when you're 15 years old or who knows what it is, the people who think it's not possible are the ones who haven't been around people doing it. And as soon as you start to expose yourself with those people who have really conditioned themselves to believe the possible is possible and they've started to do it, you'll believe it yourself. And yeah, it's something that I talk about a lot with people, whether it's in a book, even in a course. I talk a lot about going out and doing physical things you don't think you can do. Like, if you don't think you can run, you know, 5 miles, just go out and start running or even start walking. You'll realize you can probably do 10 if you had to. And that, while this isn't about fitness, physical fitness, it's directly transferable to work and to life, because you realize you can just do more than you thought. My business was really nowhere for a number of years, my writing and my work, because I wasn't around anyone who was doing it. And all of a sudden, when I got into San Francisco, I met these web entrepreneurs, these bloggers, and, you know, big folks in the space. One of them, Leo Babauta, Zen Habits, and a number of others. And it literally brainwashed me to what I could actually do. And within a year of that happening, I mean, my business grew by like 1,000%. It was crazy. Like, I just was literally nowhere. And that's the key. Nothing is impossible.
That's about being around similar people. And you mentioned that in there. But you also say that everything starts with why. And I've interviewed Simon Sink as well. I think I'm saying it right.
Great.
So, you know, tell me what you learned from him, because obviously, you know, he's got a great message. And I think we're talking at this point about trying to help people find their passion and their purpose. And it truly does start with why. It's the why behind it that truly is the kind of igniter. It's the starter fluid, as
right,
we say, to get things going. What'd you learn, and what would you tell our listeners about really getting ignited around the why, finding the why?
Right. Yeah. I got exposed to Simon's work just this year. I was at an entrepreneur event with him, and I was on the phone with him last week talking about this course and doing an interview, and his stuff about starting with why. I mean, the idea is that in general, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. They won't get behind your cause, your product, your idea, unless they believe the same things that you believe. And you can't, and more importantly than influencing others, you can't influence yourself unless you really believe at your core whatever you're trying to do. And so that's why this purpose and passion comes in, because if you're doing something out of business that you don't care about, that you don't think it's even really helping people in terms of the end product, you're not going to be excited. You're not going to do your best work, and it's going to be miserable. So it's in everyone's best interest to understand. It starts with understanding what are your real big beliefs about the world. And for me, and with Live Your Legend and the Live Off Your Passion work that I've been doing, it is that if we can get people doing work they love, we can literally change the world. Like, imagine how people would treat their husband, their wife, their children, their server at lunch, or the random people on the street, if they embodied and loved what they did and they had passion and all that. I mean, the ripples would be incredible, and they'd start to intersect, and you'd literally have a revolution. So that is, for instance, my why and reason for being with my work, and that has allowed a lot of people to say, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I want to feel that. I want to be a part of that. So they don't necessarily go to follow Scott and what he's doing. They do it because they believe what I believe about doing work you care about and living on passion. And so it starts with just those. What things do you get? Do you get really angry or super involved in, whether it's discussions or anything like that? You can ask questions with yourself about the things you really believe in. You know, whether it's when someone talks about their kid eating junk food and you get really pissed off, notice those things, because those are your beliefs, and you can build your why around that. And with that comes, you know, passion, your business, and all that. They all become one.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally concur with you on, you know, trying to notice those little things that really ignite you inside, you know. And sometimes
right,
they are, and they turn into things. And I'm going to ask you this next question, because you make a relatively bold statement. I mean, as I was telling you before we started this podcast, I've probably interviewed over 320 authors at this point, many of them around passion and purpose. But you say that your book or your guidebook here is really the first to combine discovery of your passion with the making of money from it. So tell me how that works, because a lot of times people will say, you know, it's not about the money. It's truly about me living my passion, whether I'm a social worker or I'm working in the Andes to help, make this world a better place. But truly, I get that when you're doing your passion, you truly shouldn't have to worry about the money, right?
That's true. I think the important thing to realize is that, first of all, when I was looking at what can most help people, you know, there's a lot of books on passion. There's books about how to make money, but I hadn't seen many that really took the art of finding a passion and combine it with the science of making money to put those together. And the reason I think it's so fundamental is that a lot of people don't even give the first bit of attention to a passion because they have this belief that you can't make money from your passion. I don't have time to do that. You know, I have this job. I got to do all these things. So I think it's fundamental that you figure out a way to build a career around your passion, to make money around your passion. And because then it allows you to live it and breathe it all the time instead of just, you know, maybe spending 4 hours every weekend carving out some time for it. And the rest of the time you're miserable looking forward to those 4 hours. So that's the key. And that's why I put the two together. Is you can talk until you're blue in the face about, you know, discovering passion, kind of this ever elusive concept, but until you put some sense to it, I don't feel like people really pay attention to it. And that's why I've told people, if they go through this course and do all the stuff I talk about, I'm very confident that in within 6 months, they will not only have found a passion, but be making money from it. And if they don't, I'm totally happy giving their money back for the course, because I just believe in my core that is very possible and probable, just because I've worked with so many people and it's helped so many already. So
Why you're doing the course, you know, obviously, Scott, you're passionate about what you do, period, which is about helping people become passionate. Your passion is about, you know, igniting passion in others so that they can live the life of, I want to call a blissful life, a free life, a life that isn't ensconced in fear. Truly, these are the kind of things that everybody deserves in life and can have if, as you say, they work for it. Now, you talk about, you know, 19 habits of highly passionate people. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. That's this quote from Aristotle. Tell some of my listeners what these 19 habits are and why they're such important habits to people that are passionate.
Right. Yeah. So you know, I was looking through all the research I did and the people I've interviewed and the case studies and just people I've spent time with around the world, and you start to notice a number of consistencies between these people who are living passionate, vibrant lives and have businesses or careers built around them. And so I saw what they had in common, and I thought, okay, this has got to be our foundation and the things that we need to just be practicing day in, day out and just become a part of life. And, you know, we won't probably do all of them now, but I mean, the some of them include, you know, like surrounding yourself with passionate people. Like we said before, you have to be around the people doing it day in, day out. I spend my time almost nonstop around those people. And a lot of people spend time around people that don't support their dreams and tell them that it's not possible. Tell them to be more realistic. And I say, if that's the case, it's time to find new people to spend time around. It's time to find new friends that can really empower you. Let's see, other sections are, I mean, one habit is to just take note and write everything down. You know, I always have a journal under my arm, my Moleskine, and you've got to be ready to recognize the things that excite you. If you see someone doing something or speaking on a stage or doing a job that you say, oh my God, that is so cool, I would love to do that, write it down and try to figure out, what is it about it that is so exciting? What are you feeling? And start to, you keep a list, and eventually you have this whole repository of ideas. And one other big one that
was try new things, consistently experiment with new people, jobs, projects, and experiences, and see what sticks. That's a great one, you know?
Yeah, it's really powerful, and I think at least the generation that's come before us, is it's been more of a, do you have a one career, your whole life type of thing. And I just totally disagree. I think you got to be trying things and find out what lights you up, and whether that's, you know, a full-on, full-time job you try out, or maybe it's something you volunteer at for an hour or two on the weekends or in the evenings, but you've got to be trying things out and adjusting. It's kind of like a sailboat. You know, it's constantly tacking left and right towards its destination. It readjusts constantly, and that's how we are. Like, we're not going to be on some highway that goes from point A to B. It's going to be A, B, C, D, E, F all over the place, and that's what it's all about. You got to just keep learning every step of the way and adjust accordingly.
Yeah, the other thing that you, and I think this is really an important one, it's number four, and we're not going to cover all 19, we don't have time, but realize you're already free. I think people have this feeling that, you know, when they get in the rat cage and they're spinning around every day and it's the same old thing, that they don't feel very free. But you mentioned that freedom is its purest form is the ability to choose the way we interpret what happens to us. I think that statement in itself from a perception standpoint is probably one of the key areas, because if you start down that slippery slope the other direction, it's hard to get back, isn't it?
Well, so true. I mean, when I first read Viktor Frankl's work, The Man's Search for Meaning, is when I first came across that. And it's just so profound, in that when you have that belief and that way of life that you can define the things that happen to you and let them serve you, then there's no bad luck. No bad things can happen, because you can figure out a way for them, learn from them, and to use them going forward. And it's so easy. If you don't have that thought process, it's so easy to make up excuses for everything. Why it happened to you, why it always happens to you, all these things. And I was doing one of the interviews for the course, Pam Slim, of Escape Pupil Formation, and I made the small flip up of saying, you know, what about the people who are stuck in a job that they hate? And she says, wait a minute, let's just wait for a second here. She said, no job is inherently miserable. Okay, you make it miserable. You find ways, at least right now, to find meaning and purpose in the work that you're doing, so that it empowers you to either move on to the next thing or to make your current situation such that you want to leave. But you're in charge of defining what things mean. And maybe if your job is quote-unquote miserable right now, then the meaning you find is, this job is allowing me to have the income to spend time on the side developing my real passion, and it's just my ticket to the next thing that really matters. Whatever it is, you know, you've got to find the reason.
So speak to us about congruity and synchronicity. What you say in the book is, if you can keep congruent, you can have some amazing things happening to you. It's almost like a congruency creates synchronicity.
Right. Yeah, and congruency, when I first learned about that from Tony Robbins a number of years ago, and it was probably the most profound thing. I really got synced up with this stuff. And what I mean by congruency, I like to call it the compass. And what it is you have your personal values, the things you really care about, don't compromise on, you know, maybe it's honesty, love, connection, whatever it is. And then you have your unique talents and strengths. I call them superpowers. And the things you're just good at, just right off the bat, you just love it. People ask you to help with these things. You enjoy doing them. And then you have your definition of success. And this is not money, status, fame, all the stuff you do in university or all the way through corporate America. It's the stuff that matters to you. You know, whether it's, you know, helping a child down the street with their algebra because they don't get it, or, you know, being able to help this one person who work they care about. You define your success. You have these, your values, your strengths, your success, and then your experiences, and that's your compass. And when you can line those things up, that's congruency. And that's, like, really blissful living. That's when, and you really can't go wrong. And once you, if you're achieving your values, living your strengths, defining and living your own definition of success, overlapping those things, there's nothing to worry about then. The money doesn't matter, the status, all that stuff just fades away when you can be congruent. And if you're out of sync, you're going to feel it, and you're going to know it, and you're going to need an adjustment.
Well, now you talk about the importance of defining values, and I there hasn't been one book on passion or purpose that I haven't read, and I've read literally probably 50 of them, where values is not mentioned as a key important part of the formula. explain, and you give a Strength Finders test as part of the purchase of your Live Off Your Passion book. Explain to my listeners, again, the importance of defining these values and living these values. And then secondly, this Strength Finders test, what it can do to help them kind of figure out what those values are.
Definitely. So yeah, the values are really so much of the foundation. If you don't have that figured out with the strengths and the success, it's very possible the passion is going to come right, meet you right in the face, eye to eye, and you'll pass it right by because you won't notice it and be able to recognize it. You don't know what to look for. So the values, I think the key with the values is most people don't ever think, spend the time to really sort out what are the things they care about the most, the emotions and the experiences they care the most about feeling, you know? And when you don't do that, then obviously you have no chance of getting it right. So the thing is, let's say you have different things you value. Let's say you value honesty and integrity and, let's say, health and fitness and family, love, and things that seem obvious. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I value these things. Of course, I value my family more than anything. But when you dig into it, you know, what you might realize is that it's possible that if you're not, let's say, healthy and fit and feeling vibrant, you can't serve and help the family in a way that really matters to you. So maybe it turns out that health and fitness is slightly above family value because you can best serve your family when you're healthy. You know, if you have a heart attack when you're 40, you're not going to be able to achieve that real value of family connection. So it's things that at first don't seem obvious, and once you think through them a little bit, they help line things up. And if you might find yourself, without doing it, might find yourself trying to achieve some values that in reality you actually don't care about or are actually taking away from the stuff that really matters.
Well, you know, one of the areas that I totally concur with you on is you talk about becoming obsessed with learning. And you use a quote from a guy that I've actually met, Leo Biscaglia, that died quite some time ago. But I was always influenced by Leo simply because of his love course at UCLA and just how much of an amazing man he was. But your quote here is, "Change is the end result of all true learning." Obviously, you're a continual learner. I've read in excess of 500 books at this point on personal growth and mastery. Explain to our listeners why having this continual learning mindset is so important to them finding this passion and constantly pursuing that passion.
Yeah, you can't learn things and find what you're excited about inside of a vacuum. I mean, it's very difficult to sit inside of, let's say, the office at your house and really figure out what lights you up without going out, talking to some people, having some experiences, reading some ideas and philosophies from other people and books, watching videos, TED Talks, these different things, because they bring ideas into your head that you never would hope to think about because that just isn't part of your realm of thinking. So there's so many tools now. I mean, books have always been around, which, I mean, I absolutely love books, and they've made all the difference. But, I mean, now there's other tools like, you know, the podcast that you create, the interviews, the TED Talks are something huge that have been very influential. But
right. The
thing is, when you get exposed to what other people are thinking, you have to give yourself a chance to notice what is interesting to you and what is exciting. And you just increase your odds dramatically the more time you spend around different types of ideas and material. So that's where the lifelong learning comes back to. I mean, just be obsessed with it, because you will get obsessed with it. The more time you spend, you see how much it excites you, the new ideas, and then it's tough to stop.
Well, you know, you say enlist free labor, getting others to find your fire. Now, I thought this was pretty interesting. This is kind of a great idea. And you actually gave an email template that you put in here as well. And you're actually asking others to help them find their passion, right? So explain it a little bit further.
Yeah, well, I think what happens is with yourself, you obviously are biased with your own experiences and your skills and everything. I mean, now, granted, we know ourselves better than anyone else in most categories, but a lot of times, and why this exercise I think is so valuable, is we don't give ourselves credit for some of the things that we're incredibly good at. We either take them for granted, or just aren't willing to give ourselves that level of satisfaction or appreciation for these things. So to ask other people, people that are close to you and know you well in different circles. You know, it's, I think I suggest a couple colleagues, a couple, maybe obviously your husband or your wife, your boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe a parent, but not all from the same area, not just your family, but all, you know, maybe six different people. And you ask them these questions about, what do you think I would be best at? What do you think my best strengths are? What do you think, what have you always thought I should do for a living? And things like that we just can't think of on our own. We have too many beliefs, ones that we don't even know. And the people who are able to think big for us sometimes are the people closest to us. So it just gives you a different frame of reference and can totally jumble things up in a positive way.
So you've put into this workbook these 25 sacred questions that can provide all the answers. You call it massive discovery, and something that you picked up from Tony Robbins. You put a quote in there. You call it passion actions. You know, you said clear aside 1 to 2 hours and go deep with these questions. Can you give my listeners about three of those questions from this questionnaire about what they are and the intention behind those questions? Because once they answer those questions, you obviously, I can tell just by looking at this, that there's going to be almost immediate action behind it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the questions, so that they've come together, again, as a result of all this work over the years, that there's different ways, sometimes to ask the same type of thing to different people have different learning styles and different ways of thinking about things. So this sort of gives you a way to key into different parts of your brain and your experiences in your life, you know, all the way back to when you were a child today. And I mean, there's a lot of different things there, but the first one that comes to mind that I think is so powerful, and I learned this from Danielle Laporte of White Hot Truth. She's an author, and she spoke at an event I was at recently, and she said, "What do people thank you for?" That was it. And it's such a profound question. Like, just think about, more than anything, what are the few things that people thank you for? I mean, there's different skills that people have. Maybe people always asking ideas on how to cook this best recipe, or, you know, can you help me? I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, run this race. What do you suggest? Or I got this computer problem. Whatever it is, what do they thank you for? Think about that. And then a few others. I mean, I think the one that really gets to the core of your reason for being and what matters to you is something probably a lot of us heard before. What do you want to be remembered by? You know, on your deathbed, what do you want someone to say about your life and how you impacted people? You know, do you want to be called the richest guy, the great starter, let's say got children to stop eating so much sugar so they could, you know, fight childhood diabetes? Who knows? But think about how you want to be remembered and what that means to you. And then the last one of the three that you asked, I like the one that's what revolution do you want to lead? And I was recently at a TED talk of them, and it's all about this new age, about how everyone's capable of leading their own revolution with their own beliefs. And I use Jamie Oliver as an example of the work he's done with childhood food and nutrition.
Obesity, yeah.
But so think about, like, what do you just care so much about that just you can't sleep? Like, when someone talks about it, it makes you so angry. A lot of times it's the thing that makes you the most angry that involves the most passion, that you want to help people best. So think about the revolution. You can literally lead one. Over at Live Your Legend, we are leading a revolution to get people to do work they love. And, you know, we have, you know, tens of thousands of people who are behind it, and because they believe it. And so,
well, you're creating the movement, Scott. That's the key. You know, you're so passionate about what you do, and you can hear it in your voice and everything that you do and how you say it, how you articulate it. And it's just so nice to hear someone of your age who could have such influence on your generation. And I just want to acknowledge you for that, because truly, your generation truly has so much to give to so many of these other generations. And, you know, I look at the Occupy Wall Street thing, and it's mostly young people your age. But truly, the statement needs to be made. I like how you're making it, because you're, instead of being against something, you are for something. That's where Mother Teresa said, you know, why be against something when you can be for something? Why look to the negative when you can look to the positive and you can do something with your life? Where do our listeners go, Scott, to get more information about Live Your Passion and Live Off Your Passion, this e-book and e-guidebook, I should say?
Right. So first, quick comment about the revolution thing. Now, granted, I may have started the idea, at least with Live Your Legend, but a revolution doesn't exist without the people who support it. That's, you can have an idea, but without that first follower and the second and third, you're nowhere. So we are, I like the quote from the Ubuntu dialect. I heard it from Nelson Mandela in one of his talks. It's, I am who I am because of who we all are. And that's what it is, you know, the people you surround yourself with. So anyway, that's my little thing on revolution. But to be able to get behind what we're doing and kind of learn more about it, liveyourlegend.net is where all this stuff lives. That's, and the website, the home, the blog, videos, all kinds of resources. I have a ton of free tools. I have what I call an epic work toolkit that all of my community members get free access to, with a bunch of tools. And then Live Off Your Passion, the course, this self-study e-course that we've been talking about, that is, you'll also see plenty of information on Live Your Legend about that. That's probably just the best, easiest way to go. And we could probably provide a link or two wherever you end up publishing this if you guys want it.
Oh, yeah. We'll do a publish for all of my listeners out there. There will be hypertext links also to his videos, YouTube page, Facebook page, and directly to his website so that you can get more access to this. Because truly, Scott, I just want to acknowledge you. The material that you put together, the way that you put it together in the simplistic format, you know, as you were talking about, the revolution actually leads to a revelation. And I think the key thing here is, you know, helping individuals have their own individual revelation. Nobody is given anything that they can't deal with. And the universe provides you with this opportunity in each and every moment that you're given these learning lessons, as you've talked about throughout our podcast here, to actually have my own revelation. And that is truly the opportunity, is to wake up, become aware, and then to do something with these moments of shift that we've been able to create with inside of ourselves. Thanks so much.
It's an honor. And I mean, thanks for allowing me to further get the message out a little bit and share it with all you guys. What you're doing is making all the difference. And the more we can become aware and stop sleepwalking, as I say it, we have to wake up and realize more is possible than we've ever believed.
Most definitely. And Scott, I will direct all of our listeners to there. And again, we've been on with Scott Dunsmore on Inside Personal Growth, and it truly is an inside job. Live Off Your Passion, liveyourlegend.net is where you can go to get this. We'll put links in this. Scott, again, thanks so much for all your time.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.